How do you do? By the time the boy in this story was 14 years old, he had been adopted twice. And during those years, he experienced the kind of heartbreak and rejection, the kind of role model in adults to make the average person turn to self-pity and despair. But he was not average because of his third adoption, the one that took place when his heart and mind and life were unshackled.
Little boy you have, Glenn.
Yeah, that's my son, Dave.
Well, how old is he?
Seven? You're seven, aren't you, Dave?
Shouldn't he be home in bed?
Well, he doesn't like to be alone.
Well, where's his mom?
Well, she died when he was 4 years old. Disappeared in a boating accident.
Oh.
They never found her body.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Yeah, me too. You know, it's hard raising a boy by yourself.
Well, I'm sure it is, but he's a cutie.
We adopted him, you know, when he was just a baby.
Really?
Oh, yeah. Would you like to have him for the weekend?
Are you serious?
Sure. Oh, he's a good boy. Behaves, too. Hey, don't you, Dave? Hey, you want to go home with this nice lady?
Spreading the good news that changes lives, this is Unshackled. True life stories of real people dramatized and produced in Chicago by Pacific Garden Mission. Because of faithful friends who give financially to keep the doors open at Pacific Garden Mission, thousands of lost people have found new life at the old lighthouse in Chicago. And their testimonies have led untold thousands of people to the Savior, which is what this program celebrates. Unshackled, the longest-running radio drama in history, began with true stories of destitute men and women who come to Pacific Garden Mission, where they receive food, clothing, and lodging, even medical and dental care, and all free, and where their lives are transformed. Unshackled reaches around the world in six languages, telling others how the Prince of Peace can change everything. And now for broadcast around the earth, here's program number 2668 in the series Unshackled, the program that makes you face yourself and think. The man in this story was born in 1961 at Mount Sinai Hospital in Chicago. 4 months later, he was adopted by a young couple. And when he was 4 years old, his adoptive mother drowned. Not a happy beginning to a life that would become ever more difficult. This is the story of triumph in the face of adversity, the true story of Dave Pearson right now on Unshackled.
I loved my dad. He was all I had in the world after Mom died. He eventually remarried a woman who had 4 children, the youngest of whom was very abusive to me, using garden tools to strike me in the back. Once, he even chased me with an axe. I still have scars on my face and back from these assaults. Dad moved the family to Colorado to live in a log cabin in the woods, but that didn't work out, so we returned to Chicago when I was in first grade, and it wasn't very long before my dad had another change in store for me.
Dave, you're just not doing very well in public school. Some kind of learning disability, they say. So we're going to try you in a different school, okay?
Okay.
I think they're going to do some experimental things, and you may not understand, but don't be scared, okay? Just do what they say and try to get along, okay, buddy?
What a nightmare. We children were blindfolded, and as we stood in line, the adults would yell commands in code, things like balancing on one leg. When my foot hit the floor once or twice, one of the adults would trip me, lay me on the floor, and choke the air out of me. Other children were screaming for their parents who were observing on the other side of a two-way mirror. And life at home was no better, with fighting and cursing, beer bottles smashing against the walls. My dad and his new wife divorced by the time I was 7.
I'm going out for a while, Dave.
Can I go with you, Dad?
No, not tonight. You gotta get to bed. You have school tomorrow.
Oh, I hate being alone.
I'll be back, son. I just need to get away for a couple of hours.
Well, what if you don't come back?
I will. Hey, you want to sleep in my bed till I get home?
Sure.
That way, you'll know I'm back, and I'll put you in your own bed then, okay?
Okay.
All right, you say your prayers before you go to sleep, just like I taught you.
Okay.
Good night, son.
Good night, Dad. Dear God, please help me, because I'm scared. And help my dad, too.
We attended church in Downers Grove, where we lived then, and I knew that God was real and would help. After one Sunday school class, the teacher asked if any of us would like to know Christ. I raised my hand and accepted him into my heart that day at 7 years old, a decision that would help me in years to come because Dad was struggling with his life. Many times he took me to bars with him where he drank for hours.
Dad?
What now?
I'm thirsty.
I got you a 7-Up.
Dad, I drank it all.
Because you ate that bag of barbecue chips.
But I was hungry.
It's always something, isn't it? Why can't you just let me be?
Oh, I'm sorry, Dad.
Stop belly aching. I wouldn't have hit you, but you've got to learn. I'm ashamed that you're my son. Here. Use my hanky and wipe your face.
Dad punched me in the face because he was drunk. He drove home in that condition, down the up ramps of the highway and sideswiping cars as he went. Oblivious to the danger, he drove the wrong way down one-way streets. Other times, he would give me to people for the weekend. When Dad heard there was work in Portland, Oregon, he pulled me out of school and we drove there, staying 3 months. Most of the time, he left me alone in the apartment.
Hello?
Dave? It's your Aunt Alice. How are you?
Oh, I'm fine, Aunt Alice.
Is your dad there?
No, he's not here.
Oh, will he be back soon?
No, he went to the bar.
Oh, are you all alone, Dave?
Yeah, I'm alone.
Well, would you tell him to call me when he gets in? Well, I have some good news. They're building a fun park here in Florida, and I think your dad can get a job here.
It took us a week to drive from Portland to Florida, where my uncle worked as an aerospace engineer for the space program. When we got there, my dad left me with them while he looked for work.
It's been kind of rough for you and your dad, hasn't it, Dave?
Well, it didn't work out in Portland. I missed a lot of school, too.
Well, I wish he wouldn't leave you alone so much. That's not good.
Well, sometimes he lets me go home with people for weekends, so I won't be alone.
What people?
Well, just people he knows. I mean, I'd never met them before, and I don't remember their names, but...
Well, what do you do when you stay with them, Dave?
Well, one lady taught me how to make a bed.
Uh-huh.
And one lady made me a really nice breakfast.
Oh.
And then we drove to visit people.
But you didn't know these people?
No, but they were nice to me.
Well, that doesn't sound right to me.
I just wish Dad wouldn't drink so much. I mean, that's when he gives me away.
Well, I hope you get to stay here a long time. We'll look after you.
Dad was a wonderful craftsman and carpenter, but he couldn't find a job in Florida. So he left me with my aunt and uncle while he drove to Chicago, where he checked into a hospital to get help for his alcoholism. He called me once a week.
Hey, you doing okay, Dave?
Yeah, Dad. Uncle Kel is helping me with my schoolwork, and we get to fish a lot.
Oh, that's good, son.
Yeah.
Did you get the money I sent you?
Oh, I sure did, and I'm saving it for you, Dad. I have more than $100 already.
Well, I might need to have you send me some when I go looking for an apartment.
Well, when can I come to live with you again, Dad?
As soon as I get a place for us. Now, you be good, all right, buddy?
I will.
I'll call you next week. Bye-bye now.
Goodbye, Dad.
Is everything okay, Dave?
Yeah. He's going to send for me pretty soon.
Uh-huh. Well, we've been meaning to talk to you about that, Dave. You know, we'd love to have you live with us permanently. We'd like to adopt you. What do you think about that?
Well, I can't do that. I mean, I love you and Uncle Kel. But Dad needs me, and he wants me to come to Chicago pretty soon to live with him.
I sent Dad the money I had saved so he could get us a house, and then in July, my aunt and uncle put me on a plane to Chicago. Dad met me at the airport, but Instead of going home, he drove straight to a bar and left me in the hot car for hours. When he came out drunk, I knew nothing had changed. Once again, he left me alone a lot. Once again, he would take me to bars and offer me to strangers.
Hey, wouldn't you like to have a little boy like this for the weekend?
Oh, for the weekend? Well, I'd like to keep him forever.
No, you can't keep him forever. But I'll tell you what, I'll let you borrow him for a few days.
Oh, I just love that boy, Glenn. We'll have a great time together, won't we, Dave?
Sure.
Well, come on, let's go before your dad changes his mind.
Bye, Dad.
Hey, bring him back on Monday.
Oh, we'll see. Well, what do you know? I have some graham crackers. You want some milk, too?
Oh, sure.
Never touched the stuff myself.
You live right downtown, don't you?
Now, it's a rough neighborhood, Dave, so don't go outside alone.
Oh, I won't.
So, does your dad do this often? Let you stay with people like this?
Well, he's having a rough time now, you know, and he needs space, I guess.
Oh, don't we all? Well, you can just stay with me anytime, and I mean that. It's nice to have someone here I can trust. Most of the men I meet are losers. I hope you grow up and treat women better than they do.
Oh, I don't ever want to drink alcohol. I mean, I've seen what it does to my dad.
Like Dad, she was an alcoholic too. But she loved me, and I spent many days and most weekends with her. One day, while on the phone, she had a big fight with her boyfriend, and she was scared when she hung up.
Keep the blinds closed, Dave. He threatened to kill me.
You don't think he means it, do you?
You bet he did. He won't be the first one who tried.
Oh, I'm scared.
Now, don't worry. I won't let him in.
Open the door! Break it down!
You can't come in here and kill me. I have a little boy in here.
I'll kill him, too.
Oh, help! Somebody help!
In a moment, we'll hear how Dave and his friends survived this frightening time. It's not that homeless men who come to Pacific Garden Mission haven't tried to make something of their lives. They've just set their affection on the wrong things, pride, lust, and the ways of the world. The men's division at the mission never gives up on anyone who comes seeking help. They know that nothing is too hard for God, and that's where restoration begins, by receiving His life and learning His ways and purposes. There's a place for every man at the mission, from the transient who gets a meal, clean clothing, and a bunk for the night, but doesn't take the bread of life, to the man who gives his life to Christ and leaves the mission rejoicing. Some decide to join the Bible program and stay for a year or more, immersed in the study of the Scriptures, before they go out to share the good news with others. It isn't easy to learn new ways. In place of strife and vainglory, they learn to esteem others better than themselves, to do all things without murmuring and disputing, to set their affections on things above. It isn't easy, but none who receive new life would trade the new life for the old. To learn more about this ministry to the men or any of our other ministries, write to Pacific Garden Mission, Chicago, Illinois, 60605. Our email address is unshackled@pgm.org, and please include your address.
I sat on the edge of the bed, shaking with fear, thinking my life was over, but he finally went away. Another time she met a different boyfriend at a bar, and they took me to his house where I fell asleep on the sofa and awoke to their fighting and yelling. Later, I told my dad about the crisis.
She tried to commit suicide? How?
She took a whole bottle of aspirin.
That's dumb.
Oh, I feel sorry for her, Dad. I mean, she's had a hard life.
Well, everybody's had a hard life, son. I mean, look at us. I haven't been able to keep up the payments on the house, and I may lose it.
Oh, no.
I don't know what I'm going to do. I have to put you in a stay-at-home for a while.
Well, why?
Because I can't provide for you, and you can't stay with that woman anymore. She's unstable.
Well, maybe I could work,
No,
Dad.
You can't work. You need to be in school. They have classes in that stay-at-home, so you won't get behind. Maybe they even have, you know, experts to help you with your learning disability.
The stay-at-home had padded cells and worldly humanistic counselors who didn't help me. I cried myself to sleep at night. Then I was transferred to a different home, but the director decided I didn't belong with children who had committed criminal offenses. When my mother's sister and her husband learned where I was, they came to get me and took me home with them. There, for the first time, I met my grandfather, my mother's dad, Clarence Davis.
Do you remember your mother, Dave?
Not very well, Grandpa.
Well, you were just a little tyke when she died, but I've been praying for you ever since. You're my only grandson.
I am?
Yeah. Yeah, I've prayed that God would bring you back into my life so we could get to know each other.
And he did.
Sure did. God answers prayer, Dave. Not always when you want or even what you want, but his answer is best for you in the long run.
That state home had counselors, Grandpa. And I asked one of them, is there a God? And he just laughed at me. He said, there is no such thing as God. You're a God. I wondered if he was being truthful.
Well, don't you believe that nonsense, Dave. God is real, and he loves you very much. Do you know what the Bible says about God's love for us?
Well, I've heard some things in church, but, you know, we move so much we don't always go.
The Bible says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. That's love. To lay down your life to save others. And Jesus did it willingly.
Grandpa, when I was 7, I prayed to receive Jesus as my Savior.
Praise God. Another prayer answered.
My grandfather was a minister who lived upstairs in the same house as my Aunt Marge and Uncle John, so I spent a lot of time with him. He was part of the Unshackled ministry and was mentioned in one of their books. For the first time, I heard true gospel preaching when we went to church, and they placed me in a Christian school where I made new friends.
Well, Dave, how is school today?
Oh, it was great. I mean, my best friend Jamie and I decided to start a Bible study in the neighborhood.
What a good idea.
Well, I don't know a lot of things, but I can teach what I know about Jesus, that he died for our sins, and he helps us follow God.
Here, take a look at the Bible, and I'll show you where to mark the place that backs up what you just said. Let's see. Yeah, there are many other verses, but Romans chapter 6, verse 23 says it all, Dave. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord.
I'm going to give the first message, and I'll make sure to put that in my talk.
Do you know what you're going to talk about?
How to have joy every day.
Uh-huh. Sounds good to me.
I figure Jesus first, others second, and yourself last.
You got it, Dave. I'll help you pick out some scripture to support that message.
We could even take up an offering and give the money to the church missionaries.
Now God will bless your efforts, Dave. Come on, let's go upstairs and pray together for this new ministry of yours. Would you like to begin?
Sure. Lord, please help Jamie and me teach the other kids about you. I mean, I just want them to know how much you love them and help them live right.
And Lord, thank you for my grandson, for answering my prayers. Keep him in the center of your will, Father. Help him follow your plan for his life.
My grandfather often invited me upstairs to pray with him. While other children were playing cops and robbers, my friends and I were learning about Jesus. We preached, and the boys and girls in the neighborhood got saved. My father, meanwhile, had moved to Florida to live with his folks. He asked me to come down there and live with him again, so I left the godly home that nurtured me so well and moved to Vero Beach. For the first couple of years, Dad and I did some wonderful things together. Then he had some setbacks in his career.
Dad! Dad!
What is it, Dave?
My bike's gone. I think somebody stole it.
Oh, no. I had to sell it.
Why?
Well, I needed the money to pay some bills.
Oh, Dad, why didn't you at least tell me?
Well, you know, things aren't going well since I lost my job.
I know, you're drinking again, too.
So? Well, so would you if you had to walk in my shoes.
Jesus will help you if you ask him.
I don't want to hear about Jesus.
But he'll set you free, Dad, and give you a whole new life.
I'm going out!
Lord, please help my dad quit drinking. He needs you so much. I guess I'm not a very good witness, Father, so please, please send other people into his life to tell him about Jesus. Protect him until he comes to know you, Lord, please.
My Aunt Alice and Uncle Cal had moved from Florida to Washington, D.C., but they heard what was going on with my dad, and they called.
Dave, I understand your dad is drinking again.
I'm afraid so, Aunt Alice. He lost his job, so he's been selling things to buy liquor. I feel sorry for him, Aunt Alice, but the drinking, I don't know, it gets old.
Oh, I thought he had it whipped this time.
We had some good times for a while, but now...
Well, if you want a place to live, you're always welcome here. You know that.
I know. I just hate to leave Dad when he's down.
Well, you can't help him, Dave. He has to make the choice.
Well, let me pray and ask the Lord what I should do. Lord Jesus, you know how much I love my dad, how much I prayed that he would give his life to you and quit drinking. But so far, he hasn't, and it just gets harder, and it gets harder to watch what he's doing to himself. I need wisdom, Lord. Should I stay with him and try to help him, or should I go and live with my aunt and uncle? I feel so torn. I want to do what's right for everybody, but most of all, I want to do what pleases you. Please, help me choose the right way and give me peace. And Father, please save my dad. Don't let him die without Christ and end up in hell, please. Amen.
Hey, hey, where have you been?
Oh, out in the orange grove, thinking and praying.
Is something wrong?
Well, Aunt Alice and Uncle Cal invited me to come and live with them.
Oh.
I think I'm going to go, Dad. It might be easier for you if you don't have to worry about me.
Well, whatever you want, Dave. That's fine.
I want you to know that I pray for you, Dad. Every day.
So at 14, I went to live with my aunt and uncle in Washington, D.C. They adopted me, so I was adopted twice. And for the first time, I felt like part of a family. My cousins accepted me as if I were their little brother, and because I never had a mother, I called my aunt Mom, and my uncle I called Pop. I lived with them for 8 years, during which time I went to college. Good turkey, Mom.
Oh, thank you. It's nice to have you home again, Dave. How are classes?
Great, and to think I'm roommates with Jamie, my old friend from Chicago.
Now, isn't he the one who helped you start a Bible study?
Yep, and God used that to prepare me for ministry.
Oh, I'm so glad everything's going well for you, Dave.
You know, I was always stigmatized with that label, learning disability, but I realized something recently. I have the Lord, and the Lord and I together are a majority of one.
Oh, David, that's true.
Now I gaze on Christ and just glance at my problems. He'll see me through. I was 24 years old in 1985 when I learned that my dad had cancer and was dying. So I went to see him in Florida.
You look good, son. I quit drinking, you know.
I'm really proud of you, Dad. I know how hard it was.
Well, I could have quit years ago if I'd listened to you. It was easy after I received Jesus as my personal savior. He gave me new life, Dave, and he set me free from the bondage of alcohol.
Oh, Dad... You don't know how much I prayed for you all these years.
Well, I think I know.
And I sure love you, Dad. And I want you to know that I forgive you for everything that happened over the years. I know you were struggling.
I'm sorry I didn't do better for you, son.
Oh. You know, Dad, if I ever get married and have a son, I'm going to name him Glenn after you. Because I choose to remember the good times we had together.
A month later, my dad died. I went back to Northern Virginia, where I met and married E. Lois, a wonderful woman whom I called Skip. You can't imagine my joy when our first son was born.
You're crying, Dave. Is something wrong?
No, it's just, I'm so overwhelmed, honey. This is the first time in my life I've seen a relative. I mean, my own flesh and blood, my son.
Oh, Dave, I can't begin to imagine what that means to you.
I loved all the people who took care of me when I was growing up, but There was always a hunger to know a flesh and blood relative like everybody else.
Well, here he is.
Skip, I'm so overwhelmed. I didn't realize how much his birth would affect me. I'd like to name him Glenn after my dad.
Oh, that's beautiful, honey. Glenn it is.
God has really blessed us. When our daughter was born, we named her Dawn, representing new beginnings. After much prayer, I moved our family to Chicago, back to the church where my grandfather had taken me. And then the unthinkable happened. My wife developed terminal cancer and died in May of 2001. Once again, the Lord Jesus carried us through that terrible time, and he will carry us through whatever lies ahead. Like my grandpa, I pray for my children, and I know that God is faithful.
For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. That's a promise in Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 11. And that promise is for you, listening friend. God loves you and sent his son, Jesus Christ, to die for your sins so you could have victory over things that hold you down. Herein is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his son to be the propitiation for our sins. All you have to do is thank him, turn from your sins, and give your life to him right now. If you need help in making this crucial decision, just get in touch with Pacific Garden Mission, Chicago, Illinois, 60605. The telephone number in Chicago, area 312-922-1462. Our email address is unshackled@pgm.org. This is program number 2668. Heard in the true story of Dave Pearson were Matt DeCaro, Mary Scholl, Doug James, Joanne Silvestrak, Mercita DeMonk, and Russ Reed. Original music Don Badorf, sound Nick Aloisio, engineer Ed Webb, script by Kenitha Gabler, and I'm Bob O'Donnell. Unshackled's produced by Pacific Garden Mission to show through true stories that if your life is empty, it can be filled to overflowing. Unless we hear from you, we have no way of knowing that you hear these inspiring true stories, so please write soon. The address, Pacific Garden Mission, Chicago, Illinois, 60605. And remember, day or night, you may call Pacific Garden Mission in Chicago and talk with someone who cares. 312-922-1462. Someone is waiting for your call. 312-922-1462.